Hey, Reach Paramount, welcome to our podcast. We really hope this message encourages and challenges you as you walk with the Lord every day. Enjoy this message.
We are going to start a sermon series here that we're calling Blessed. And it comes from the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 5. And really, it's regarded as the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes are a statement that Jesus, or I should say, is the series of statements that Jesus made in Matthew chapter 5, explaining how we can be blessed. Anybody want to be blessed in here today? I think that the few of us that want to be blessed. Well, Jesus gave us some instruction on how our life can be blessed. And it's really kind of opposite of what the world thinks and the philosophy of our world. Jesus told us a lot of things of how to be blessed, and many times it sounds opposite of the philosophy of our society. So I'm going to read this first beatitude here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, and then we're going to pray. Is that all right? We're going to ask the blessing of God. So, Father, we thank you today. Well, let me read this, and then we'll pray. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Of heaven. So let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your grace. We thank you for your power. We thank you for the word of God, that it is relevant, that it applies to our life even in 2024, that the word of God isn't outdated, that your word today, God, ministers to every part of our lives today. God, that you would help us to be open to receive the word of God, remove every distraction. Help us to give you our 100% undivided attention. I pray for the anointing of God as I declare your word, and let the people of God hear the voice behind the voice in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. We appreciate all of you being here today. I don't know about you, but when my children were smaller, when they were young kids, I used to take them to a place called Chuck E. Cheese. Anybody familiar with Chuck E. Cheese? And I hated Chuck E. Cheese. I think it's evil. But we'd go there, the Chuck E. Cheese, and it was stinky. It was loud. The food tasted awful. I think the pizza improved a little bit. But back then, I would have to take them to Chuck E. Cheese. For some reason, they just love going to Chuck E. Cheese. And now I got my grandkids, and they want to go to Chuck E. Cheese. But back when my kids were small, I would take them, and they had what they had, the sky tubes, which I don't think they have anymore. And you'd climb up in these tubes and go across the room, and there was germs after germs after germs, and they come down and slide into the balls, the plastic ball, more germs. Maybe that's why they're immune now, because they were built up with all that those germs everywhere. And we would go there, and then Chuck E. Cheese would come out. And half the kids were afraid of that rat, man. they'd be crying when he came out anyway. But I was reminded this past week about a game that was there, and it was called Whack-A-Mole. How many ever heard of Whack-A-Mole? When I first saw it, I thought it said Whack-A-Mole, but it's Whack-A-Mole. And Whack-A-Mole, what happens in the Whack-A-Mole game is these little moles pop out, and you have to have a hammer, and you hit one as soon as it came out. But then it would get faster, and then it would go one, then it would two, then three, then four. And it's like, man, it's like when you hit one, the other one, two of them would come up, and you almost couldn't keep up with it. And, of course, I cheated. I put my hand in there, helped my children try to. You just can't win that game. It's impossible to win it, because there's so many moles that are happening. So I'm going to say this to you, that whack-a-mole is like a metaphor for your life. There are things that keep popping up, and you can't manage them. How many know what I'm talking about? Even in life, there seems to be problems that pop up out of nowhere, and right when you've dealt with this problem, another problem pops up. Right when you hit that problem, took care of that one, something else comes up. So This is life, whack-a-mole. You guys have a great weekend. No, I'm going to show you how God can help us in this world of whack-a-mole. Because there's a lot of problems, even personally in our life and even in our society. And there could be issues, even sin, that persist in our life. Personal hang-ups and addictions that we can't seem to handle on our own. Yet God's word teaches us how to end this game of sin that keeps popping up out of nowhere. Because sometimes it's hard to manage so many things and so many modes that keep popping up in our life. Let me ask you a question. I need you guys to be honest. I'm going to take a little survey here. How many of you have ever stayed up late, yet you knew you needed to go to sleep? How many? Okay, a few honest people here. How many have stayed up late and then you slept in church? Yeah, okay. There's more of you. Because I get to see you. So here's the thing about church. If you see me, I see you. So a lot of people say, Pastor don't see me sleeping. I see you back there. I see you knocking out back there. I see those teenagers playing with their phone. I know what's going on over there. Yeah. Can't believe what I'm preaching. People are looking at their Facebook and checking out their Instagram and talking and all that. Isn't that rude? Could you imagine if you came up to me, Pastor, you know, and I started asking me a question and I just walked away? I started looking at my Facebook. That's what happens in church. People get up, they go to the restroom, they walk out. Oh, yeah, okay, I'm going to keep preaching anyway. So have you ever said yourself, I ought to exercise, but I don't? How many have been honest? You said, man, I ought to, but I don't. How many have eaten more calories than you should? Right? Have you ever tried to take control of your life and you realize you really can't? Really, welcome to the human race, because that's what the Bible teaches us. In fact, Paul the Apostle, who was a great man of God, talked about his struggles in life. He talked about how life could be a big struggle. And in Romans chapter 7, he says this, I don't understand what I do. What I want to do, I don't do. But what I hate to do, I end up doing. I know that nothing good lives in my sinful nature. I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. How many can relate to that? And then in the next verse, he said, thank God through Jesus Christ, he delivers me. But what Paul is saying is, I have a lot of things in my life I want to do and I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I end up doing. He says, as long as we live in this body, as long as we live in this world, there's always going to be this struggle that we can't manage it on our own. And he finally says, thank God through Jesus Christ I can. And here's what I want to say to everyone here. There's a lot of things in your life that you're not going to be able to manage on your own. How many of you don't have to raise your hand, but things keep popping up in your life. Stress, fear, overwork, addictions, regrets, worry, bad habits, anger, dishonesty, financial issues, relational issues, resentment. Think about all those things that keep popping up. Now, if some of you say, well, I don't deal with any, well, you're perfect, so you probably shouldn't come to this church. But we're a bunch of imperfect people that need God to help us today. So what happens to us, the reason why so many of these issues and problems keep popping up in our lives is because we're trying to play God. We're trying to manage things on our own. We're trying to do it on our own. And we think we can act like God, but how many know we can never be like God? In fact, that was one of the devil's biggest sins, was pride. And he thought he could do everything on his own. None of us are God. We need God in our lives. And what happens, it causes pride in our lives. In fact, Ezekiel confronts one of the kings, the king of Tyre, and he says, in the pride of your heart, you said, I am a God. But you're just a man and not a God. though you think you are as wise as God. So when you and I think we're as wise as God, we're saying, God, whatever you say doesn't matter. I know better. I know better. I know what will make me more happy than God does. I know what will make me more happy than what the Word of God has to say. I don't have to listen to God's Word. In fact, Proverbs 29:23, you could write it down. Pride ruins people. So what is the cure to all of these things in our lives? We're going to be talking about that the next 8 weeks. What we're calling the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes are basically instruction. It's a famous sermon that Jesus preached on the Mount. And he's talking about 8 ways to be blessed. So Jesus is saying, if you do this, you're going to be blessed. If you follow these instructions, you will be blessed. How many want to be blessed today? All of us do. We want the blessing of God. But you're not going to get the blessing of God your way. So when Jesus said, blessed are the poor in heart, when he said blessed, he said the favor of God is on your life. If you want God to smile on your life, if you want the blessing of God on your life, if you want to be a recipient of God's divine blessing, then do these things, follow these instructions, and your life will be blessed. So again, I'm going to read Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus is not saying poverty. Blessed are those who are poor. He's not saying that. He's saying poor in spirit. So it's not a physical poverty. It's a spiritual poverty. If you're poor, you're poor. You need the blessing of God. Amen. But he's talking about poor in spirit. What does poor in spirit mean? It's recognizing you need help. It's recognizing without God, you're bankrupt. It's saying spiritually, you're empty without God. It's recognizing how helpless you are. So Jesus said, when you recognize that you're helpless, when you recognize that you need help, you're going to be blessed. But those that are prideful, those that are saying, I got it all together, or at least walk around acting like they got it together, you're not going to be blessed. Did you know that the first step of being free from any kind of addiction or hang-up is admitting you need help? It's hard to get people help when they're not recognizing they need help. How many have ever tried to help someone, you knew they had a problem, but they would never admit it? It's called a blind spot. And you say, hey, man, I see this in your life. They go, how come I don't see it? Because it's a blind spot. When you're blind, you can't see it. You can't see the blind spot in your life. This is an area in your life that you need help in. And unless you recognize it, no one can help you. You can't help yourself. And so God is saying to you and I, if we want to be blessed, we have to recognize that we are spiritually helpless. So it means that I have to admit that I need help. Somebody say amen. That basically I'm powerless to handle it myself. I'm powerless. It's saying I need some help here. I need to recognize that, man, I can't do it by myself. So number one, write this down. If we're going to learn how to be blessed and we're going to be poor in spirit, I must humbly, in other words, humble yourself and admit that you need help. Jesus said it this way, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So I have to face the truth about me. All of us like the truth about others. We like to talk about others, but not about ourselves. Am I right? We like to hear the truth about others, but we don't like to hear the truth about ourselves. You don't like the truth about you, but you love the truth about other people. Some of us, we speak in tongue, but you don't know how to hold your tongue, right? We hate the truth about us, but we want the truth about others. Because it's painful. It's painful to admit that we got some issues. It's painful to admit that there's things in our lives that are not good. And unless you recognize it, then you're going to stay miserable forever. I don't know about you, but all of us, we need God to change us. How many would admit that? You need God to change you. You have to humbly admit that. See, the good news is your habits and your hurts and your hang-ups can be healed. The bad news is it takes humility. You're going to have to humble yourself. Let me read you a scripture here in James chapter 4, verse 6. God resists the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. Another translation says God opposes the proud. He's against the proud. So in other words, pride will get you nowhere. Pride will destroy your life. God is against the prideful, but what? He gives grace to the humble. In other words, he gives favor, unmerited favor, favor you didn't earn, and he gives you that favor if you humble yourself. See, all of us, we need God to help us, and he gives us the grace. Grace is not only there to give us favor, but it's there to empower your life. We need some grace power. Man, I need some grace power in my life to help me to change, to help me to submit to God. If I would just humble myself, I need to admit that I need help. Write this down. The second thing that you do, or I should say part of needing help, is you have to be willing to admit that you are broken. How many broken people do we have here today? We're all broken. All of us have some kind of brokenness. See, it's hard to admit that. See, about 10% of you raised your hand. The other one, I'm not broke. Yes, you are. We're all broken. We're all in the same boat. Your brokenness may be different than mine, but you're broke. Not financially, I said, but in your heart. There's things in your life that are broken, need to get fixed. Am I right? We live in an imperfect world. The weather's broken. I can't even tell if it's raining or it's going to be sunny or not, especially lately. It rained last night or this morning, 2 a.m. My wife goes, she woke, you know, I shouldn't say she woke me up, but this morning she goes, man, did you hear it raining this morning? I go, it didn't rain. She goes, yeah, look outside, it rained. 2 a.m. She goes, didn't you hear the rain? I go, man, I was sleeping. I was like in the fourth level of my dreaming state, man. I didn't hear no rain. But our economy's broken. Our relationships are broken. Our body's broken. The older you get, you're going to see how broken it is. You know, God never intended deformities in the world, whether it's physical, emotional, or any of that. But deformities came because of sin. We live in a broken world. People that are having battles in marriage because you got two broken people, you can't get a perfect marriage. Am I right? But if two perfect people or two imperfect people don't give up on each other, that's a perfect marriage right there. Don't give up on each other. In fact, Romans chapter 8, verse 20, it says this, creation is confused, or creation is groaning or frustrated. If you've been watching the news lately, we live in a confused world today. It's groaning. People are confused. Their identities are confused. Their attractions are confusing. You got older people trying to be young, younger people trying to be old. Women trying to be men and men trying to be women. People are confused today. Identities are confused. Why? Because we live in a broken world. And I will say this to you, you've been broken by the sins that you've done, and you're broken by the sins that others have done to you. All of us have some kind of brokenness. And brokenness, really, some of the brokenness are because of our bad choices. Other brokenness is because of the circumstances that we're in, because we're not, again, we live in a broken world. And here's what I would say to you. We have to admit that we need help. The other thing is we have to be willing to admit that we have some hidden sin in our life and it's destroying us. The Bible says we have to admit some of the hidden things that are in our life. All of us have some things that we're hiding, and they're destroying you. It's not what you're eating, it's what's eating you. What's inside of you that's getting a hold of you? In fact, in Psalm chapter 32, I'm not going to read that chapter, but if you take time today, go ahead and read it. And he says, when I refused to confess my sin, I was weak, I was miserable, I groaned all day long. He said, when I finally confessed my sin to you, it says, I stopped trying to hide them all, and you forgave me and removed all of the guilt. So what secret sin are we hiding today? What things are we? We have to humble ourselves and say, I need some help. See, the more you hide it, the more it increases in your life. The more you keep it from everybody else, the more it begins to pile up. And this is why we need to stop pretending that we don't have problems and start admitting that we need God's help. Somebody say amen today. So unless we admit it, we can't defeat it. If you want to defeat it, you have to admit it. We have a hard time admitting things. And this is why we don't receive the healing. This is why we don't receive the help that we need, because we're not willing to admit it. And the only way you're going to defeat things in your life is you have to admit it. We can't allow God, or we won't allow God to work in our sin until we confess our sin. We have to admit what's in our lives, what's wrong, admit our fears, admit our hang-ups. Look at what the book of Proverbs says in Proverbs 28:13. You will never succeed in life. In other words, you'll never get ahead if you try to hide your sins. He said, confess them, give them up, then God will do what? He will show you mercy. I cannot defeat it until I'm willing to admit it. A lot of people spend an enormous amount of energy and time trying to hide their sin. They spend an enormous amount of time trying to hide their weakness. And when you do it, drains the life out of you, man. Because you're trying to hide, you're trying to be phony, you're trying to fake all of these things. Instead of just admitting, you need God in your life. The secret sins keep you sick. You can't defeat it unless you admit it. Here's what I want to say to you. Are you ready for this? Can I preach this morning? Here's what I want to say to you. I pray for our church, and I pray for every person that comes. But I want you to understand, serving God is not a religious experience that you need to have here. Are you listening to me? Serving God should not be just here in church. It should be at home. You shouldn't just be something at church and then something else at home. It should be transforming your life. If God really touched your life should be changed. It's not just something you do. It's not something, well, I just do that at church. You should be what you are at church the same way you are at home. Oh, you guys are quiet. We're praising God on Sunday, and then we're cussing out our wife on Monday. We're loving people on Sunday and greeting them and shaking their hand, and then we're talking about them the rest of the week. See, that don't match. We can't be having religious experiences. It should be a transformation of your life taking place, not just at church, but at home. Oh, that's good preaching. I'll say it to myself. That's the word of God. See, our pride will always keep us stuck. Our pride will always keep us behind. Our pride will keep us from moving forward. And believe it or not, we'll begin to stink on the inside. You know, I learned something about cleaning out the refrigerator with my wife. If you leave things inside a refrigerator long enough, they start rotting. And it's like a spiritual experience, man. I'm telling you, it's like things start stinking, man. I mean, you ever seen potatoes, how bad they can stink? I mean, here's what I've learned too. Not every vegetable that's rotting stinks. You guys are looking at me like, what? I was thinking about avocados. Avocados, they can rot on the inside, but they don't necessarily stink. It's not till you push them or squish them, and it's like, oh my gosh. An avocado can rot on the inside, but look good on the outside. Sometimes we can be in church looking good on the outside, but rotting on the inside. You don't necessarily need to be smelly in order to be rotten. Did you hear me? We need help. Somebody say, I need help. I need God to help me today. That's what I'm talking about. All of us are broken. All of us need to admit it. All of us need to say to ourselves, we need God's help. You know, you ever tell somebody when they're angry, you're angry, go, I'm not angry. You're angry. Yeah, yeah, you know, you're angry. No, I'm not angry. Who's angry? Nobody's angry. It's like, dude, you're angry. People won't admit it. Jeremiah 2:13 says, my people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and they've dug up their own broken well, their own broken cistern that can't hold water. So he said, not only have you rejected me, but you're trying to fix it your own way, and it's a leaky bucket. All of us this morning, we need God's help. Second thing, are you ready for this? We need not only help, but we need to ask God for help. I said we need to ask God for help. We're going to all these other things for help, but are you going to God for help? Are you asking God to help you? That's moving from admitting to confessing to God and saying, God, I need your help. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 says this, we are despaired, or we are despaired of life itself. We saw how powerless we were to help ourselves, but that was good. In other words, we recognized we couldn't do it. For then we put everything into the hands of God, who alone could save us, for he can even raise the dead. If God can raise people from the dead, he can raise the dead marriage. How many can say amen? He can raise, he can turn a crucifixion into a resurrection. So God's given us instructions. He's given us the word. He's given us a place that we could read. But how many know we still need help? And so I'm going to have them bring up this table up. These young men are going to help with that, and they're going to bring it up. And I kind of want to just give you an illustration. How many here are not very good bakers? You would say, I'm into it. I said, man, I'm not a good baker. Raise your hand, a few of us. I'm talking about admitting, and there's just a few people that are really admitting. So the rest of you are professional bakers. How many are not good bakers? Raise your hand. All right, now we're getting some honesty. I'm not a very good baker, and I could cook a few things, but when it comes to baking, that's a whole different story. And somebody, if you're not a good baker, if they gave you a set of instructions or even a recipe, how many think you'd be able to pull it off? So I was reading this recipe for, this is a vanilla cake recipe. And this is what it says. I'm going to read it to you. It says, prepping time is 15 minutes. Cooking time is 1 hour. Preheat the oven to 350 degrees. There it is. I preheated it. 2/3 cup of all-purpose flour. So here we got the flour. And I was looking for a 2/3 cup, but apparently I only have a 1/3 cup. And I have to use 2 of these. Is that correct? 2 of these, 2/3 cup. 1 cup of sugar. Oh, here's the sugar. I think you guys turned it the wrong way, but that's okay. Here we are. There's the sugar right there. Then it says 1 tablespoon of baking powder. I think this might be the powder. 1 tablespoon of vanilla extract. Here it is right here. And then 3 eggs. Got some eggs. I think there's 4, but there's 3 there. 3/4 of milk. Got some milk in here. 3/4 of vegetable oil. I think there's some in here. I'm a little short of ingredients here already. Then this is what I didn't get. Mixed dry ingredients. Okay. How many know what this is? It's called a whisk. Any of you that don't bake good, you know how to use this thing? About to whip it up with this, I guess. Fold in eggs. What is fold in eggs? Milk, oil, vanilla extract, put in grease baking pan. So that means I got to have a pan. And somehow I'm supposed to, out of these instructions, make this cake. Now, it sounds really good. It's, I got the recipe, I got the instructions, all of that. But how many know I may have all of that, but man, it's still not clear. I don't know about you, but I need some help. I'm gonna need a baker. I'm gonna need somebody like my wife or a good mama. A good mama out there that knows how to do this. Some of you can call your mama, man, and say, hey, mom, help me to do this because I can read the instruction, but even sometimes instructions don't make sense. That's why you got YouTube today. Thank God they got the QR code. You can look in there and see them do it, you know? And so my point to you is that you can have the instruction, you can have the recipe, but you need to have a relationship with someone that can help you and assist you to do it. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit. We need God's help to follow His instruction. You can't do it by yourself. You got to know the baker. Amen. You got to know the Holy Spirit that empowers you. Even serving God, you can't do by yourself. This is why we need Him to come alongside of us. And so we need to be able to surrender everything to God, everything that you have to God, the good, the bad, the ugly, the stinky, everything, and say, God, here it is. God, I need your help. I can't do it on my own. And here's what I want to say to you. Rarely do a lot of us, I should say this, sometimes what it takes is for us to hit rock bottom. Can I tell you, don't wait till you hit rock bottom. Because the reason why you waited till you hit rock bottom is because you were stubborn and prideful. I feel bad because people, they wait till they hit rock bottom. They wait till they finally ran out. They're flat on their back. Then they call on God. Call on God while you can right now. When the pain becomes greater, then your ego or exceeds your ego. Matthew chapter 5 verse 3 said, and it said that this way, I like what it says in the Message Bible, you're blessed, it says, when you're at the end of your rope, with less of you, there's more of God and who He is. Number 3, I want you to write this down. If you want to be poor in spirit, not only do you need to admit that you need help, not only do you need God's help, but this one's going to be tough. You need other people to help you. I said, we need others in our life. See, a lot of us this morning, we say, man, I could do it all on my own. No, God wired you for relationship. God wired you to have other people with you. We can't do life on our own. In fact, I was talking to a few guys that have been in prison. There's a few guys here that have been in prison. I'm not going to point them out. And they've done some, thank God, God changed them, though. Their life has changed. And God changed them. And one of the things I was talking to them before about it, they said, I said, what is one of the worst things in prison? And they said, solitary confinement. Amen. Solitary, man, when they put you in the hole, that's hard. I go, why is that? He goes, man, it just, you're by yourself. You get depressed. You get in hallucinations. There's anxiety, man. Suicidal thoughts happen when you're in the hole, when you're all by yourself. In fact, there's organizations that are trying to help these prison systems to not put these men and women in solitary confinement because it really psychologically can really break them down and some of them can't recover. See, we were not created to be by ourselves. We need others in our lives. And so God wired you in such a way. Yeah, you can do some things by yourself, but you're not supposed to live life out by yourself. You need other people. You can only do so much. You need others to help you. God put you on this earth for others to help you. Don't get stuck in your pride and say, I don't need anybody. We all need somebody. In fact, Ecclesiastes chapter 4 says, two are better than one because they got a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man, or feel sorry for the man, who falls and has no one to help him up. All of us need somebody in our lives that can help us. Don't do life alone. Do you realize that in the New Testament, 58 times, it says one another, love one another, care for one another, help one another, encourage one another, pray for one another, support one another, console one another. You were never meant to face life problems or even your sins by yourself. You need other believers. That's what keeps you healthy. That's what helps you grow. You grow in community. You grow with other people around you that can help you along the way. Even as the pastor, I got pastoral friends that can speak into my life, that can help me, that I'm not trying to do this by myself. I have others that are above me that I get permission to speak into my life and tell me the truth. How many know the truth will hurt you? But it'll free you too. It'll tick you off before it frees you. But sometimes the truth needs to get in there to hurt you in order to heal you. See, all of us need to hear the truth. If you just have friends that tell you what you want to hear, they're not friends. They're your enemies. They're going to destroy your life. But a true friend will tell you the truth because they want to help you grow. They want to make you better. So I literally have pastor friends that will say, oh, you're an idiot. I'm not giving you permission to say that to me, but I give them permission. They say, oh, that's dumb. Why'd you do that? Why'd you say that? Why are you even thinking that? I've had them say, you're stupid. I've literally said, you're stupid. Me stupid? Yeah. I give you permission to tell me. I need the truth. Tell me the truth because I need some help. See, all of us need other people in our life to tell us the truth that will help us along the journey of life. This is why in this church, not only do we have the public gathering that we have here on Sundays, we meet here at, we had a service at 9 o'clock. This is our second service, 11 o'clock. Then we meet here on Wednesday night. But then on Friday night, we have what we call connect groups. And we break down into smaller groups. And we have several leaders here. And this is the place where you can have community, where you can be honest with people, and people can pray for you. And people could come around you and let you know. Here's the great thing about these groups is that people are on the same boat that you are. Broken people helping each other, praying for each other. Say, man, I know what you're going through. I've been there. It's all right. You're going to be okay. God's going to help you through this. And so we have several connect groups. Why don't you put them up there? These are connect group leaders. They meet in home. These are beautiful people. Every one of these leaders, except Jacob and Linda, they take care of your wonderful young people here, teenagers, and the rest of them meet at home. The youth is held here on Friday night, every Friday at 7 o'clock. Am I correct? 7:30. Sorry, 7:30. I don't come to youth, so I don't know the time, but it is 7:30. But the rest of these groups, they meet at home. And I want to encourage you. In fact, I persist and insist, if this is your church, you should be in one of these connect groups. Because it's not going to be enough just coming to church. You need to be a place where people can pray for you, where you can know some people, where you can build some friendships. Not only this, we're going to have some more connect groups. We're going to have more connect groups begin to spread because we need more. So this is our list right now, but this is not permanent. We're going to have some more leaders. And we want to encourage you, if you want to host one in your house, you say, man, I'd open up my home to have someone come and lead a connect group. Come and talk to one of those or even one of our pastors and let us know that, hey, I'd like to go. Or if you just want to be a part of one, I want to attend one. Come and talk to any of these people here, any of these leaders here. Talk to any of our pastors, and we'll direct you to one near you. We have some here in Paramount, Whittier, Bellflower, Compton, Downey. I don't know where else I'm in. Lakewood, Norwalk. I don't know where else. They're all over the place. Southgate. And so they're all over. And we want to encourage you to go. Why? Because we know that you grow in community. We know that when you're with people, people will help you. Let me read this last scripture to you in James chapter 5, verse 16. Look at what it says. Admit your faults to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. So how are you going to be healed? Number one, you have to admit you need prayer and to each other. The Bible says you need to find other people. In other words, God will forgive you, but if you want to be healed, you need to tell others to pray for you. There are things in our lives that we need somebody else to speak into. We need others to pray for us. Now, I'm not talking about just finding a random person. You want people that you can trust. Am I right? You don't want people that you tell them and then it's on Facebook 5 minutes later. You don't want to tell that person. You want to tell somebody that you can trust, that you know, hey, I can trust this person. They know where I'm coming from. And they want to pray for me. They care about me. Because around here, we're people just like you. And so we need God's help. How many would say that? We want to be poor in spirit. So how do we do that? Admit that you need help. Ask God for help. And then ask others to help you. So I'm going to pray for you today. Why don't you bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment. Father, reach across this building.
Thanks so much for listening to this message from Reach Church Paramount. To stay connected with us, follow us on Instagram or Facebook at Reach Paramount. To give and support this podcast and ministry, visit our website at reachparamount.com/give.